You know, we had the $15 movement. You know, right. you know, get people to pay $15. Due to the inflation and things that Abraham just talked about, don't you think that movement now would have to be more than $15 a movement in order for people to have a living wage?
Oh, I would agree with that. Absolutely.
I mean, I was saying 20 for 2020, you know, like, yeah, this was absolutely a couple of years before, you know, when they were really making the push in like 2016, 2017, 2018. I said, what are you people talking about? $15 an hour? Like, that's a pittance. If I mean, I think there was a report from the New York Times, and this was 4 years ago, that said if wages would have kept up with labor productivity, minimum wage would have been $18.36 an hour. So the fight for 15 is already below the mark. Well, you can't do any negotiating. You can't do any sort of like actual change if you're already shooting below the target. It doesn't make any sense. So, you know, we have to come up, you know, eventually. I mean, I would hope that 25 by 2025 would be a new rallying cry, you know, $25 an hour as a minimum wage by 2025. Who knows?
You know, one of the questions that people are asking, and you clarified it, is that each Starbucks is voting to form a union. But is there a collective effort to form that, you know, like National Starbucks Union, where, you know, all Starbucks could be involved?
From my understanding, it's tricky. I think there's like a tipping point where I think we're at 135 unionized Starbucks out of 8,000 in the United States. So I think that, you know, eventually we'll probably reach a tipping point where there may be some sort of something, but, you know, it's hard to say how, you know, how the national project versus these smaller projects. I mean, you know, Starbucks, whenever there's an intention to unionize or organize, you know, Starbucks is like, well, the bargaining unit is the district. Well, that's maybe, you know, 15 stores, and if only one store is ready for its vote, that means 14 stores, you know, you're jeopardizing the vote because not all those 14 stores have been organized. So I think that at a certain level creates, you know, kind of a tricky situation in terms of navigating what's going on. I mean, if all Starbucks decided all in one day to like go on strike nationwide, I think maybe we would see maybe a movement or a moment to make a shift. But at this point, we're building brick by brick into the foundation of something that may or may not turn into a national Starbucks union.
So organizing Starbucks right now, what do you see as the future groups that need to be organized? Or that you make it reach out to?
I think Bill's got a lot more history on this one, so I'm going to turn it over to Bill.
I think there's a sort of very encouraging development a couple of weeks back where the workers in Troy at St. Joseph's House presented evidence that the majority of the workers wanted to unionize, right? And from what I understand, that request was denied by the management. They want to go to election, they want to go through a formal process, that sort of stuff, right? But I think that for a lot of, I think one of the areas in which we have to think about it would be certainly human services, and this type of human services sort of agencies. I mean, and particularly occupations which deal with children and things like that. I mean, people who work in daycare centres are really, truly oppressed in terms of their salaries, right? I mean, we're not in the 30s, we're not in the 40s or the 50s. We're dealing with a different economic model, in a sense, a different form of capitalism, if you would have it that way. This is not industrial capitalism. It's sort of merchant capitalism. It's a different type of capitalism, and it's a lot harder to pin down. You know what I'm saying? I mean, in the 30s, it was fairly clear who the enemy was, and it was easy to identify the enemy and easy to fight against the enemy. But things are so diffuse right now, it's just harder, very much harder, to understand what direction to take. But I'm not really sure how to answer that question.
Because I'm saying that you have major organizations like supermarkets.
Right.
You know, a lot of supermarkets, and they are building, and they got a lot of employees.
Mm-hmm.
And we know we still got Walmarts, a lot of Walmarts right here. And, you know, McDonald's.
Right,
different groups. And, I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that we reach out that we, if you organize in them, that will help build the labor movement.
Right.
But I guess because of the grip that management have on those groups, that they are hard to organize.
Right.
Yeah, I think the service industry is a really interesting kind of moment, because you are very much like in close proximity with a large group of people. So like in terms of, you know, if you're in an office cubicle, that might be a little trickier. But you know, the service industry, you're behind the counter. You're kind of a captive audience of sorts. I think those are really going to be an important place to turn our energy. I think, like you're both saying, like kind of a big box kind of type spaces. So whether that's a Walmart, mm-hmm. a Target, a grocery store, a warehouse. I mean, I think those are really, even though we're seeing a lot of those kinds of things, like stores going away, right? And everyone's just going online. You know, warehouses all the more, I think, are going to be important. And supermarkets. You know, one of the areas of a lot of deregulation and exploitation right now, of course, is the the Ubers and the Lyfts and mm-hmm. the like DoorDash right. and like these kind of like little like services where you feel like you're making money, but really like at the end of the day, you know, you're making subpar wages. You might feel like you made an extra $30, but when you take that, you know, per hour, and then you take that, you know, divided by mileage and divided by this and by that, you know, you've actually, you know, your insurance, your health, you know, all of those things, because they're put back on you. And that's one of the clever things that the bosses have done, is now, you know, doing a lot of contractor kind of, instead right. of employees, they're contractors. And so now all of the liability is on you, and none of it's on the boss, even though the boss is raking in, you know, buco bucks. And I think that's got to be like a mind shift for workers, to be like, no, I'm an employee, and no, I deserve X, Y, or Z things. And I think we have to, like, part of our messaging has to remind those kind of gig economy workers, so to speak, mm-hmm. of, you know, of their, not only their rights, but, you know, what they can win when they fight back.
Okay. You know, just one last question, and I want to thank you for, you know, this interview, you know, and a lot more questions that I have, but, you know, down the line, we'll get to those. So I want to get back to the Starbucks question. So why are you here at this particular Starbucks today, and what's next?
Hmm. Well, that's a good question.
Well, I mean, why we're here today? We've built a relationship, and I think that's one of the things that is super, super crucial within the labor movement, is to remind these folks, you know, not just like, oh, we supported you up until your vote, and now we're gone, now we're disappearing. You know, it's super important to remind folks that we're here, we're strong, we're not going anywhere, we're your family, and that, you know, very specifically for this location here at Latham Plaza, you know, that they know that when it comes time for their bargaining and their negotiating, that they have allies and friends and family that can, in the labor movement, that can show up. Incidentally, this location is right in between the Public Employees Federation and the New York State United Teachers
right.
and IBEW, Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. Like, so it's a huge kind of conglomeration of labor unions around here, and some of them have shown up and shown, you know, consistent support, and we appreciate that for sure. And so just making sure that support is continuous. This afternoon we're going to head over to celebrate
Absolutely.
The 134th birthday of the Albany County Central Federation of Labor, June 8, 1888, and also to celebrate, of course, the victory of the Stuyvesant Plaza workers in their huge victory, their landslide 15-0 knockout takedown of the bosses over there. So we'll be continuing our efforts there. Once we hear of any other Starbucks organized. You know, we want to make sure that we're showing up for them. We're also going to keep showing up for Joseph's House over in Troy, for the Skidmore non-tenure track faculty. These campaigns that are coming about right now, we're, you know, these are exciting campaigns. I just got a super secret on the DL call the other day that I can't talk about, but another campaign that's like super duper 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 exciting. And so, you know, we'll definitely rally folks when that goes public. So, you know, our goal, I think, is to just remain supportive, to keep building the relationships, to recognize that these are all our new family members, and we've got to protect each other because we are always stronger together.
Bill,